All right, welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. And we are joined now by Eddie Fury, who works for thumbtailgater.com. Actually, you're the guy.
I'm the guy, yeah.
When'd you set this up?
This is about 8 years ago. I did it on a dare after I left my former workplace. Well, I still work there now, and they called me back about a month later. It was too late. I already started it. I just kind of like sports. Somebody brought it up, and they say, hey, why don't you do sports on the internet? You've been talking about it. You know, why not do it? You know, this is the golden age when it was still starting. Started doing the webcasting, and it took off from there in first year alone. And a couple years later, we got to see two state championships, Harbor Beach, Deckerville. I went to a couple state finals already with Almont, you know, and a couple regional championships, always covering those. So it really blossomed from there. At first, it was in the Thumb area, and then we moved out in the BWAC because of Croswell and all that. And it's just grown, and people won't let me stop. But when you're having fun, you know, and you know, dealing with you and other guys, we're all sports junkies, and that's what keeps me going.
And you're doing more than football, right? You do basketball season. You'll be doing games, and
Usually high school basketball games. We covered a lot of those. Some of the teams that've gone the farthest is probably a quarterfinal Kingston girls basketball team. You know, I get a lot of, you know, I get asked a lot from the Port Huron Times Herald or guys around here, hey, who should we look at in the Thumb or in the NCTL that we're probably missing? And we kind of communicate about all that. But, yeah, it's been fun doing high school boys and girls basketball. And sometimes we do some SC4 games. Last year we only did a couple games. This year we're going to be coming back because of the field house being built and all that. But covered a lot of the state championship games that are the SC4 women. Hopefully the men will get there someday. But we're crossing our fingers on that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. So. But each week you can go to thumbtailgater.com. And I normally don't send people away from me.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. After you've listened to my game, you can go to thumbtailgater.com. And you've usually got two games going. You got two crews.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last week you did the Croslex Almont game.
Oh,
we'll get to that in just a second. I do want to run down the other scores and stats from the games on Friday night. When we get into some of this BWAC stuff, maybe you can chime in, Eddie. Northern beat St. Clair 30-19. Billy Falco, 149 rushing, 3 touchdowns. He also kicked a field goal. I think he drove the bus, too. Ethan Mann continued his big season, 13 carries, 105 yards, a touchdown. 2 more touchdowns for Ben Davidson, 1 rushing, 1 receiving for the Saints. Grosse Pointe North held off Port Huron High, 35-28. D'Angelo Sanderson rushed for 215 and 2 touchdowns. Curtis Corby returned 2 punts, 160, the other 52, both for touchdowns. But they couldn't stop Jared Jordan. The Norseman's running back went for 247 and 4 touchdowns. Utica beats Anchor Bay 35-34. Tar's second straight one-point loss. Nathan Ayers had 176 yards and a touchdown for the Chieftains, or Sheftons as I like to call them. And New Haven beat Lamphere 40-0. The Rockets are 2-2 on the season. In the BWAC, Stephen Rose returned an interception 90 yards. Brandon Piper, 75 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, plus he threw 2 touchdown passes. Algonac, 40. K-Pac, no chance. Algonac is undefeated. 40-0 was the final in that one. Richmond holds off Yale 27-21. Anthony Tavano caught 4 for 152 yards, 3 touchdowns, all from Chase Churchill, who threw for 218. Also added a rushing touchdown. Deshaun Hamilton had 145 yards on 24 carries. In the loss, Cade Smesnick, 170 passing with a touchdown. He also rushed for a score. Ian Nickel caught 2 for 100 yards, including a 70-yard touchdown. Game that Eddie was at, Croslex beats Almont 48-28. I'm going to tell you right now, my star of the week for the second time in 3 weeks is Joe Hayden, 26 carries, 403 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. That does not include his all-purpose yards also. Close to 500 all-purpose yards, too, because he does a lot of punt and kick returns also. So, fantastic game. That's some people thought that was history-making in Croslex. I don't believe it was. Some other player tweeted out that, no, the record is 419 rushing yards. But I had pointed out, well, that doesn't include the all-purpose yards. So,
yeah.
Joe Hayden, just a monster out there right now.
Yeah, he's been incredible. I think 2 weeks ago, he was my player of the week. I think he had 4 carries in that game for 92 yards, 2 touchdowns. Plus, he ran back a kick and he ran back an interception. I mean, he's scoring on all sides of the ball.
4 carries. That's an average of 20-plus yards there. He had an 80-yard touchdown. It was probably a little bit of a misprint in some of the stats. I was there. It was an 80-yard touchdown he broke away from. He also had a 65-yard breakaway touchdown. So, the yards after the run, after busting a couple tackles, he's got that great offensive line. They're really gelling right now, and they really cleaned up their act after that Richmond game. They were in the red zone three times against Richmond. Croswell should have won that game. They just didn't have any special teams kicking. I walked into that stadium Friday. You know what they were doing? They weren't throwing passes or running. They were practicing their kicking game as soon as I walked in.
They know what they're doing there. How about Armada 35, Imlay City 24, Jared Couch, 152 yards passing, two TDs. He had a 35 yards rushing with a touchdown. Blake Ketting added two TDs for Armada. If you would have told me that going into week five, Armada would have a better BWAC record than Yale or Elmont, I would, of course, laughed at you, but guess what? Armada has a better BWAC record than Yale or Elmont.
Yeah, they're in the league standings right now. They only got one loss, just like Croswell has one loss. Two undefeated teams in the league play is Algonac, Richmond, and those are the only two teams undefeated in league play. Richmond does have a loss, of course, to what we think is probably one of the strongest teams in the MAC right now is Marysville. They're running in all cylinders. Richmond could have one loss, but they were able to finish games in the fourth quarter like they did against Yale. They were able to have a great comeback against Croswell. That Croswell pretty much gave that game away. Offensively, the penalties were terrible in that game for Croswell, but that's their own fault. They did clean that up after that.
All right. I'm going to get in trouble for this, Eddie.
Okay.
So Eddie didn't say this. In the GTC least.
Yes. No, you're right. I'll tell you what. I cover the West, too. The West is where it's at. The Wild West right now, it is a Wild West over there. The East, I'm going to point blank say it's going to be ugly winning that Greater Thumb East title.
Oh, without any problems. Sandusky did beat Memphis 52-0. Brian Ross, 9 carries, 135, 3 touchdowns. Logan Wheeler had 9 carries for 123, 3 touchdowns. Braxton Washy, 10 carries, 102 yards. Redskins had 516 yards rushing in the game. That was their first win. Memphis still winless. Ubley beat Brown City 28-6. Ubley is the only undefeated team in the East. Harbor Beach, Marlette finally found some offense.
Yeah.
But they couldn't stop Harbor Beach. 34-32 for the Pirates. Is it Corbin or Chorben?
What's it spelled out right now?
C-H-O-R-B-E-N. Chisholm.
Go with Chorben, yeah.
Chorben Chisholm, yeah. 173 yards and 3 touchdowns for Marlette. Marlette had more, might have had 4 times more yardage in this game than they'd had in their first 3 combined.
Right. they needed this game. They do have a tough game coming up again themselves. Harbor Beach, they just got by this team. Harbor Beach is having problems defensively. We know Marlette's history on defense. Really don't have any sometimes. A lot of points. Other teams can score points on them a lot, so.
All right, one other 11-man score from the Catholic League. Royal Oak Shrine on Saturday beat Cardinal Mooney 56-13. 8-man football. Deckerville beats Peck 38-0 as Austin Fritsch goes for 162 yards and 3 touchdowns. And the Pirates are held to 38 yards of offense. A big-time statement by the Eagles that they are the best in the NCTL, maybe the best in the state. We'll find out in a few weeks here. But that Deckerville won this game, Eddie, okay, yeah. I get that.
Right.
But that they did that to a pretty good Peck football team, now I'm really impressed.
Well, picking an 8-man football game is a crapshoot, unless you're Deckerville Eagles. I lost in the pick. I picked CPS to beat Caseville.
So did I.
And Carsonville lost only by 6 points in that game. By the way, Deckerville, if they don't get to the state semifinals, to me, that's a fail for the season. So, depending on how they draw also in the north or south, maybe they'll send them to another blizzard like it did a couple years ago.
Oh, that was terrible. Yeah.
Depends what their draw is. The other second toughest game so far was Morse so far. I don't think they have a week 9 game. That could maybe hurt them when it comes to playoff positioning and where to play. They may not have a home playoff game even though they're undefeated because of not having a week 9 game.
Yeah. Caseville, as you mentioned, beat Carsonville Port Sanlac 40-36. Justin Ritchie, 40 carries, 290 yards, and 3 touchdowns. That's a week after he had, 500 yards in their win?
It's 8-player football. It's 8-player football.
But he has Mr. Everything for CPS, unfortunately. They couldn't make it 2 in a row. And how about undefeated New Haven Merritt handing Hale its first loss of the season, 36-32 at Hale. Mustangs 4-0 on the season.
That was a close pick. I was glad I picked New Haven Merritt on that one.
And they're kind of the little team that everybody forgets about in the area, and they've gotten good quickly because that program's not very old.
No, it's not very old, but it's good to have a football team there. And it also helps some of the smaller schools in the NCAA, you know, get some games on the board. New Haven, they're in New Haven. I think they're part of the Mid-Michigan League, way on the other side of the thumb.
They're the inland and not the coastal. I get them confused.
The inland sound?
Inland and the coastal.
Okay. I know. I had to look that up. I said, what? Did they change it again?
Every year.
Yeah. Olin Gage right now is still undefeated in that Mid-Michigan League. They're probably the best team in that league. But when it comes to playoffs, they find the real teams and sometimes they get bounced. Might change this year. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. All right. Lots of action coming up this week in the Macomb Area Conference. Port Huron High will travel to Fraser. The Big Reds are 1-3. Folks, they will be 4-3 when they take the field in Week 8 at home against Warren Cousineau. And that will be their next big test. They're going to beat Fraser. Okay, I'm calling it right now. They're going to beat Fraser. They're going to beat Sterling Heights. They're going to beat Lance Cruz. They're going to be 4-3 after 7 weeks. So just relax. You don't have to get nervous again until Week 8 because that will be a very tough game against Cousineau. And that will be the game that they'll have to win to be playing for more than just pride and bragging rights in Week 9 against Port Huron Northern. Speaking of Northern, they're our game of the week. They're 3-1, and they'll be looking for their fourth straight win. They've got 0-4 East Detroit coming in a crossover game. 4-0 Marysville will be 5-0 after they go to Clawson and win on Friday.
Oh, boy.
I don't see Clawson stopping them.
Okay.
St. Clair, 2-2, hits the road to go to Southlake, who's 3-1. Yes, Southlake is a silver division team, but they score a lot of points. That is a tough game for St. Clair, so toss up there. 0-4 Marine City tries to get off the schneid. They've got Madison coming in. Now, Madison has made the playoffs 9 years in a row, but they're 2-2 this year and haven't been that dominant, so we'll see what the Mariners can do. They're basically playing playoff games right now. They've got to win out.
Their playoffs start this week.
Yeah, they've got to win out. Anchor Bay will go to Sterling Heights. Warren Lincoln will visit New Haven. That is actually the battle for first place in the bronze. If you'd have told me that the Rockets would be playing the Fighting Abes for first place in the bronze in Week 5, I probably wouldn't have believed you. All right, in the BWAC, the big atomic explosion to the south, that mushroom cloud you'll see on Friday night, that's 4-0 Algonac hosting 3-1 Croslex. Everybody in the BWAC will be rooting for Croslex to win that game so that they're all back in the race, because right now Algonac hasn't lost to anybody. You've got a great defense, maybe the best defense in the area, going up against maybe one of the best offenses in the area.
Well, Algonac, in the first 2 weeks, I covered these games, they took on Marine City, winning 7-2 so far. And then they won, the week after against another tough team, Almont, winning 14-7 in that game.
On the road both times.
Yes, and that was good. That's a good confidence builder. Also, was such a close scoring, a low scoring affair there. They've only allowed 15 points. They have scored 111 points, but that's against two of the worst teams right now, the BWAC. I hate to say that, but two straight games against the worst teams. I don't like that. I would hope that you had one of those weaker games and then go back into a little bit tougher team like an Armada, or even Richmond right away. But now Algonac's kind of got themselves a little bit of a gauntlet coming up here. They got Croslex, then they'll have Yale, who we know can win games, but also can lose games in the fourth quarter like they did against Richmond in Armada. And then they follow that up, like I said, Armada coming up, and then they have Richmond. So they got quite a gauntlet themselves, having two straight weak games and then come into a tough game against Croswell Lexington, who we know has a great offense. They can pass. We know they can run. They got over almost 1,500 yards rushing right now.
Wow. Yeah, and the other thing, and I'm sure Algonac's not going to be thinking about it when they're on the field, but the fact is Richmond's playing at KPAC this week.
Yep.
Richmond's going to still be undefeated in the BWAC.
Yep.
So Algonac, again, that's another reason why they probably feel like they've got to win this football game.
And I've been warned, I got to get there early at Algonac, because swamp is going to be packed like it was against Almont and in some of their later games in the season from last year.
That town has taken to the Muskrats these last 2 years. Almont will play at Armada. Both teams are 2-2. My heart still wants to tell me that Almont is the better team here and they're going to win this game and all of that. But, Here's Armada sitting right there in the middle of the BWAC race. They knocked off Yale, and they took care of business. Yeah, I know Imlay City is not a strong opponent, but they took care of business.
Yeah, and, you know, Imlay City scored points after not scoring any points early in the season against Armada. So Armada is always a mystery. You know, back in the past, in the last several years, you saw them start off, you know, four straight wins and then lose five straight. Depends on their schedule here. But, Rich, Armada is not going to take this game lightly, of course. Neither is Almont. They're steaming after their loss against Croslex. Almont knows they have to win this game to stay in the hunt. They do have two losses in the BWAC. Now they're fighting for their playoff lives right now. This is one of the games they have to win to stay in the hunt for a playoff spot.
And Yale, after two heartbreaking losses, will travel to Imlay City. They must win this game.
Yale in the same position as Almont. But Yale right now, what, 2-2 right now? Overall, 1-2 in league play. They can't afford another loss. They want to stay in the BWAC hunt. Although, I would say the teams are two losses right now, kind of on the outside looking in. It's kind of behind the eight ball, but they still have a chance. Unless they, you know, I think Almont and Yale may decide the BWAC title. I think they'll still be share the title like it was last year. That's just a little bit of prediction on my part.
Let's go for a four-way tie. Why not?
That'd be great.
haven't had that yet. I mean, we've had like three-way ties. In the GTC East this week, Marlette's at Ubley. Good luck with that. Mm. Sandusky plays at Harbor Beach. That might be an interesting game.
Yeah.
And Memphis is at Brown City. Somebody will get their first win there. Catholic League on Saturday, Mooney has a home game against Waterford Our Lady of the Lakes, who's just 2-2 this year. So again, a strong program with a lot of history, but so far this season they've just been okay. Mooney comes in at 1-3. Eight-man Deckerville will travel to Rudyard. This intrigues me. Rudyard's 3-1.
Is that in the UP?
I think
it's in the UP.
Yeah, it's a long ways. Rudyard lost its first game, a close one, and then it's blown out its next three opponents. Now, I have no idea how good, bad, or indifferent the teams that they've been playing.
Yeah.
But so this is two teams that score a lot of points and have been dominating their opponents. So this is an interesting game. 4-0 New Haven Merritt will travel to Burton Madison Academy this week, and CPS will host probably a pretty angry Hale team after its loss to Merritt just on Friday. So that's what you've got going on in eight-man football this week.
And maybe the Tigers will be angry enough, you know, to get a win themselves this week. You know, they're looking for the playoff run. It's nice to see them win games also. You know, they have a young team.
They were so good for that stretch there that, it kind of hurts to see them be where they're at right now. Yeah. I'm a closet CPS fan. I really am. Yeah. I want the program to get back on track and get back to the playoffs. It's been a rough couple of years.
You know, I got to say, a credit to Memphis. They could have canceled their season. They didn't. They're going to continue this season as long as they can with their players out there. That does help teams that are going to play them with the playoff points because they don't get as much if they have to forfeit the game. So a credit to Memphis for keeping that program, you know, going.
Yeah, it was very, very dicey there for a stretch. Just a couple of other notes here. Mick McCabe from the Free Press does his rankings in D4. He says Marysville's the number 5 team in the state. And in D5, he says Algonac is the number 10 team in the state. He had Ubley in there, too, at number 10.
Yeah, I want to thank him for all the retweets he gives me out there. So big shout out to him. Yeah.
And Dave Garicki from the news does his differently. Mm-hmm. He picks the top 20 teams in the state, regardless of class. And then he breaks up the Metro Detroit area into regions. So he's got Marysville in the East region, and he says they're the 9th best team, regardless of class, in the East region of Michigan. So there you have it. And I also have to do this. Brady Beaton, who everybody knows, has co-hosted on this show with me. He's one of my young mentors, Eddie. He's at Wayne State, and he finally got into a game. First time ever, Wayne State beating Lake Erie 50-7 on Saturday. Brady had 4 tackles, 3 solo, 2 for loss, and he had his first collegiate sack, a 6-yard sack. So Brady Beaton, my boy from Marysville, puts a little tear in my eye when somebody does good. So.
That's great because, you know, Wayne State went to a state championship game not too long ago, so fantastic for him.
All right, so Brady finally got to dress, and he got in and he got into some action, got into some mischief, as we like to say. All right, we got to take a break, but hour number two of the show is coming up. You going to hang with us, Eddie?
Sure, I'll hang with you guys.
All right, we've got more coming up with Eddie Fury. All right, welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show, and our special guest today is Eddie Fury, who runs thumbtailgater.com, and you can also, you tweet, you Facebook, yeah. You do all the things that I'm too old to do.
Yeah, it's hard, believe me, it's hard. I was born in 71, I'm 45 years old, so it's hard to keep up with all this. Yeah, you can find all our links, our Twitter, our blog, where we post all our scores, you know, what we cover. Is located there, and also our Facebook link. It's all right there on thumbtailgater.com, as well as Channel 1 and Channel 2. You can't miss it.
So, yeah, it's actually, I did go to the site. It's very easy to navigate.
And we also put up your link of your game when you know, I look up your schedule. We put your link, WPHM.net, so people know where that game. If they want to listen to that game, go ahead. So,
speaking of, I'll be out at Memorial Stadium this week as Northern takes on East Detroit, and is brought to you by your local McDonald's, Lens Pool and Spa, Subway of Marysville, Blue Water Area Transit, and the Linwood Bar. And I know you've got Vassar and Reese, and you've got the Algonac Croslex game.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this game. Yeah, so yeah, we're pretty much going to be covering a BWAC game on our Channel 1 pretty much every week all the way through. So.
The B-Wacky continues to be wacky.
I like that, yeah.
Let's talk a little college sports. We have a situation here, folks. Eddie's a Michigan fan.
I am a huge Michigan fan. Go Blue. And I almost wore my khakis today.
As we all know, I prefer the Spartans, but that's all right. Michigan number 4 in the latest AP poll, so they stayed right where they were. Yeah. And Michigan State moves up from number 12 to number 8, but big wins for both. Although early on, the Maize and Blue folks were a little nervous when it was 21-7 at the end of the first quarter for Colorado, but they were just buffaloing everybody.
I was like a Detroit Line fan.
Yes.
I was like a Detroit Line fan wreck in that first quarter, spewing expletives. I had to order 3 Long Island iced teas where I was on Harbor Beach watching that game. And then, of course, like passed on from my father and grandfather, my Uncle Wally out there. He goes, I told you. I told you they'd come back after I said they're done. No, they came back. So,
by the way, love Harbor Beach. That's a great little town.
Yeah. I don't know if I can say where I was at.
Yeah, go ahead.
Smalley's out there. Big shout out to Smalley's.
I may have to check that out the next time I'm up in that direction.
Well, you'll like that bar because that's a Michigan State bar. They've got MSU right on their floor.
Do they
in
really?
Tiles, yes. Okay. So you should, come out there.
All right. So Jim Harbaugh has very quickly, and I kind of figured he would, when they made the announcement that he was coming in to coach the team. I didn't expect a national championship last year, but I did expect them to start winning immediately because everybody's like, well, you know, he's got the last coaches. He's got all Hokes players, so they're not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. He's a good football coach.
Yes. Yep.
He gets the most out of guys, and in particularly, he is great with quarterbacks because Jake Rudock kind of came out of nowhere last year, and he's doing the same thing with Wilton Spate this year. Wilton Spate is, you know, he threw an interception or two that first game. Rudock did the same thing last year and then was great the rest of the way, and Spate is just lighting it up.
Yeah, and not only that, but look what Jabril Peppers is doing for the team.
Yeah,
he's anything.
A special kind of player, though.
He kind of reminds me of Desmond Howard, you know, playing both sides of the ball and all that. Charles Woodson also, he's up to that legendary status. You know, it helps when you have Tom Brady there also, maybe to walk in a mustache and a mask to come in, maybe sub for speed, but that wasn't needed. That wasn't needed in that game. A great comeback, you know, and I was a doubter there in the first quarter, like I said, in the first half.
There was no way they were going to lose that game.
Well,
I mean, worst case scenario, you know, they have to eke it out. But as it turned out, what, they outscored them 38-7 the last three quarters?
Well, you know what scared me was? The ghost of Cordell Stewart was there, and he was alive in person. But smartly, we had Tom Brady there also to combat that force out there. So, you know, it was good to see.
I was working in Saginaw.
I was going to ask that.
And I was actually board hopping that day because, you know, I was young in my radio career and I needed the money, so went in on a Saturday, living in Carroll, working in Saginaw, and went in and I was on the board the day that Cordell Stewart threw that touchdown pass against Michigan. And I still remember my boss, Mac McDonald, calling me in studio, a big Michigan fan and a big drinker.
So imagine his.
And he called him, Stucky, just shut it off right now.
Take it off
the air. I don't want the post game. Shut it off.
I was at my my girlfriend's aunt and uncle's watching that game all by myself. And I watched that game. I was livid. It's in Belleville, not too far from Ann Arbor. My wife comes in after work, working at Myers there, and she goes, what happened? And I said, Michigan lost it. She never lost it. And I almost broke up with her because she didn't understand it. Why I was so heartbroken over that loss. I almost broke up with her, but luckily I came to mental reason and stayed with her after that, and she's just been a great saint. So,
all right.
SC4 grad. Too
now,
awesome, by the way.
Yeah. I was just the opposite because here's Michigan State coasting at Notre Dame 36-7. And then all of a sudden it's 36-14. Then it's 36-21. Then it's 36-28. And then they've got the ball, and I'm thinking, oh my, you got to be kidding me. But they hold on for the 36-28 win. I mean, I get when you're up big on the road, you know, I get you play it safe and all of that, but they almost got too conservative and conservated themselves right out of the ball game.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, especially in the second half there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great win after having a bye week, but it was a good healing bye week they needed, I think. This win helps them. And not only, shout out to Paul Costanzo. Sorry about it, buddy, but that's losses for Notre Dame. I'm sorry. Notre Dame's out of the playoff picture, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
you can't have a loss to Texas. And now to Michigan State, who nobody probably other than Spartan fans picked to be. I picked Notre Dame.
Everybody was picking Notre Dame. After, you know what? I was picking Notre Dame just because I thought the score against Furman was kind of a joke to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. I know Furman showed up. Furman played hard, whatever. That score should be Michigan State 45, Thurman 3. Yeah. Every single time you play that game. Yeah. And it wasn't, and I was very concerned that they'd go on the road against Notre Dame and not look good and maybe not be that good of a football team. But
it's a little bit of a disadvantage for college teams not to have a preseason, you know. I know they have those little spring games and summer games here before they play their first game, but that's why they open up sometimes with schools like that.
Yeah,
but you can't win a game. You can't. Yeah, that wasn't a cupcake, but a little bit of frosting on there helped.
Iowa had a cupcake game, or at least they thought they did.
Yeah. But, you know, this is a great win for Michigan State. You know, they beat Notre Dame. That does put them in a playoff picture more. And if they can get this win against Wisconsin, you know, we know what they did in week one. This be great. This be, you know, even if they have a loss later in the season, maybe to Michigan or Ohio State. They can't lose to both, though.
Yeah.
If they have one loss, Michigan State deserves more to be in a playoff than Michigan with a one loss.
And Michigan will get Indiana this week, which Bill Gilmer, our news guy, We'll be excited about that for about 4 minutes, and then by then the Wolverines should be up 2 or 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, Wolverines will have Penn State, and then they got Wisconsin, Rutgers, Illinois, Michigan State coming up. I can't wait for that game, of course. Everybody's waiting that. Of course, they always end their season with Ohio State. But in my opinion, Michigan cannot lose one game. If they have one loss, I don't think they deserve a playoff spot. So
Penn State, that's a noon kickoff, I believe, on Saturday, yes? Or are they
State,
the 3:30 game?
3:30.
Yeah. So yeah. The Spartans are the noon kickoff. All right. One's noon and one's 3:30.
Yeah.
I knew I'd figure it out sooner rather
than
later.
It's going to be another great college football week. So, yeah.
All right.
High school football and college football. And then Sunday football. So, yeah.
It's a Monday. So on Mondays, I'm feeling generous. 966-1380. That's the phone number. I'm giving away a free slice of pepperoni pizza from Jet's Pizza on 24th Street in Port Huron. You know where it is, 24th and Chestnut, right across from Memorial Stadium. Pretty easy question today. Come on. If you were paying attention at all this weekend, you saw this question, and you know where I stole it from. Okay, which team has the highest total of wins in FBS history? Which team has the highest total of wins in FBS history? All right, 966-1380. That's the number that you need to call, giving away a free slice of pizza from our good friends at Jet's Pizza here in Port Huron on 24th Street, right across from Memorial Stadium, where I will be on Friday night for the Northern East Detroit game. 966-1380 is the number. Which team has the highest total of wins in the FBS? And I'll even go so far as to say they have been mentioned multiple times in our most recent segment of this show. I'm really feeling generous today.
Are you?
Yeah. I can't help myself. We haven't actually played trivia in a couple of weeks, I don't think, so I want to make sure that everybody stays happy on a Monday. Eddie Fury is with us on the weekends. You're still up in Bad Axe?
Yeah, I work at, you know, another station up there. You know, I worked about probably three. I try to be part-time, but it's impossible, you know. You know, when you're a jack of all trades, you know, we do a bit of engineering work, computer work, especially with the online stuff and all that.
Yeah, it's
on air too, you know. So
kinda, oh, Eddie's here, so he can do that for us.
Yeah.
And then we can get him to do that for us.
Yeah, we gave away a car this past Saturday. That's why I was in Harbor Beach on Saturday. And of course I tore it up at the establishment afterwards, you know.
Nothing wrong with that.
To watch Michigan games.
Yep. 966-1380 the number. Which team has the highest total of wins in FBS history? And I'll even tell you, they have 928 of them.
We just talked about them, didn't we?
We just talked about them.
They're going to win this week.
They are going to win this week.
Yeah.
We will take your calls in the break as well, because I got to do that. We'll take some commercials here, and then we'll be right back with more of the Dennis Stuckey Show in just a moment here on WPHM. And just some sounds from the weekend in sports. The Tigers take the final game in Cleveland, but lost the first two. What's new there?
Mm.
Michigan and Michigan State winning. The Lions debacle on the side. And yes, I'm calling it a debacle. When you take, and I know they're crying about the one call against Ebron, but they took 17 penalties in that game and had three touchdowns called back. They have taken 25 penalties for 208 yards in losses in two games this season. They were lucky to win over the Colts. They pulled that one out. They were down with 37 seconds to go. They give up a late touchdown to the pathetic Titans. Come on.
Yeah.
The Titans are going to win five games this year.
Yeah.
And one of them was to the Lions.
And I want to congratulate the referees for winning that game against the Tennessee Titans. That's coming from a true blue Kool-Aid drinking Lions fan there.
Come on.
Well, Stafford did throw the interception. That's
yeah.
on him. That was in a lot of traffic. I don't know what he was looking at. Maybe couldn't see the vision down the field. Great interception by Cox. Got to credit him for that.
But, the Lions, come on. They're at home. It's Tennessee. They've got to win that game by two scores.
But, you know, I feel you know, about those. That whole series, you saw nothing but flags, and this is getting ridiculous. I think the fans
First and goal at the 1.
Yep.
First and goal at the 11. First and goal at the 21, and then I think first and goal at the 26.
Plus touchdowns in the end zone, but flags. You know.
But the Ebron one probably wasn't a penalty. The other calls were penalties.
I watched Sunday Night Football. I saw the same hold or whatever move that Green Bay center had. Same exact.
Well,
type of hold call, no flag there.
Get ready for it, because they're going to Green Bay next Sunday, and they're not going to get any calls there.
Well, it depends what the cheese is tasting like there, so hopefully, you know, Green Bay.
Although, last year, the Lions went into Green Bay and won for the first time in like 100 years, and they probably should have lost that game.
Yeah.
And then at home, they should have easily beaten the Packers, and the Hail Mary takes it away. So it was weird. The worst team won both times that they played last year.
And, you know, I think the fans are not really mad at the Lions team for once about this. You know, I think they're more mad about the officiating in that game.
I still think, though, you've taken 25 penalties in two games. You got to be better than that.
Got to clean it up, you know.
Got to be better than that.
We got to play flag football out there.
Well, and their schedule is set up for them. They can make the playoffs. I don't know if they can win in the playoffs, but they can make the playoffs this year, because there's a lot of wins out there if they stop taking penalties and stop losing to teams like Tennessee.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's typical Lions to me. Whether a ref makes a bad call or not, it's just typical Lions. Why are you in a 16-15 game with Tennessee? Just beat them. The Vikings didn't have any problems beating them in week one, and they didn't even have a run game against them. I think Adrian Peterson had like 30 yards against the Titans, and the Vikings are playing with their third string quarterback.
Yep.
And they beat them by 9, 10 points, whatever it was.
So you're about 3 years older, so you suffered longer than I have. Yeah. My father and my grandfather and his grandfather before him. No, there was, what, a championship way back in 1960, yeah. Bobby Lane. We need a drunk quarterback out there.
my dad told me about that. I still don't know that I believed him when he told me that the Lions won once. All right, got to take another quick break. Eddie Fury is hanging out with us today on a Monday. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. It is so refreshing to be in studio with somebody who actually knows what that is and doesn't complain that I'm playing it. All the young guys, all the interns that I've had all summer long, because we play that after every Tiger win, some of them would get up and walk out of the studio. That's the dumbest thing I've ever... Come on.
That's classic, man.
The Tigers won. Let's get excited because...
I'm excited. Still, there's some time here.
They're still in it. There's 13 games left.
Yeah.
Probably got to go, 10-3?
They are right now 79-70. The wild card teams right now is Baltimore and Toronto. Baltimore has 82 wins. Toronto has 81 wins. So Tigers are right there. Who do they have? Kansas City?
They got 3 with the Twins.
That's right. The last place
three
Twins.
With, 3
who
with
we
Kansas
lost to.
City.
Yeah.
It's 4 with the Indians and 3 with the Braves.
Yeah, that's quite of a gauntlet there. But playing these last place teams, it's really been a bug in our tails here.
This is what drives me absolutely insane. Here you've got a team that has scored 10 runs or more 13 times this season, but has been shut out 12 times this season. How can you go from one extreme to the other with that lineup?
Yep.
Okay, Kinsler, Cabrera, 2 Martinez's, Upton. For most of the season, Castellanos. I know he's not there now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even when he was, these things would happen to this team. I don't get it. I don't get them. They're more unpredictable than the weather. They should go to Minnesota and win all 3 games, but they won't. And it makes me sad.
You sound like a Lions fan now. I'm a Tiger fan.
Yeah, I mean, I just, they're, I've been saying it all year like this, Eddie. They're good enough to keep me interested.
Yeah.
But they're not good enough to get to where I want them to get.
And look how many games Justin Verlander's great pitching has been wasted.
He should have 20 wins.
Just...
He threw a 1-hit, 7 scoreless innings, and he gets no decision.
Yep. That was a 10th inning loss for the Tigers. Yeah. And they had a runner on base there, couldn't bring him in.
Oh, they got that's... The dog watches the games with me because my wife won't anymore. Yeah. Who was that? Maben was at the plate, runner at third with one out, and he popped up to second, and I looked at the dog and I said, game over. They're going to lose now.
With one out, with no outs or with one out, if you're going to do that, hit it far so we can move that runner around the bases.
There, it a lot of times they strike out.
When you play that old school jingle there, we were talking off air here. You remember the WDIV?
Oh, yeah.
The tiger with the ice pack on the top of the head there, and then when it go meow, and then it go.
I have that somewhere because I played it last week. I just don't know what I did with it. Maybe I deleted it already.
Those were my favorite teams from the 80s when I grew up. I mean, I'm talking Alan Trammell's, who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. This is a disgrace.
Lou Whitaker. Trammell and Whitaker both should be in the Hall of Fame. Whitaker's numbers are every bit as good as Joe Morgan's. Every bit as good.
Jack Morris, of course, our pitcher. Aurelio Lopez, remember him?
Oh, yeah. Senior Smoke. Let's go to the phones here, Eddie. Hi, who's this?
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, Donnie, how are you?
Good, Ed. Good job. You sound great on there, buddy.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Yeah, and you're a Michigan fan, so you got my heart there, too.
Go Blue. I bleed it, man. I bleed it, yeah.
But anyway, Stucks, I heard something over the weekend. They're going to fire Ausmus if they make the playoffs or not. He's gone for sure. Oh, just so you know, I'm just giving you the insight. You watch what I say. They're going to fire him now.
Now be careful.
Because they can't get on the same wavelength. There's too much up and down with the yo-yo, and the players are complaining now.
Yeah, but be careful, Donnie, because remember, Bernie Smilovitz said that last year.
No, you're right. That's a good point. Bernie did say it. I'm telling you on the inside, because there's a baseball writer that's a real good friend of my neighbor's, and he said, Ausmus is gone for sure. He says it's just a matter of, whenever they finish, even if they get in the playoffs, they're going to fire him. So now, barring a World Series or something strange, obviously, it could change that. But I think he's a very, very nice guy. I really do. But I just don't think you put this type of team in a manager's hands that has never managed before. It just, you know, it just didn't make sense from the start. And Dennis, I said they wouldn't make the playoffs from the very first start, right?
Yeah, and they're on life. In my opinion, I know they're only two games back.
Yeah.
But they're on life support right now.
Yeah.
Right. I agree with you. They've got to sweep Minnesota. You can't keep going in and winning just two out of three, or, you know, they haven't won.
Or
they
losing lost two out of three.
Series, right?
This is
third series.
Cleveland was three or four series in a row now where they've. Okay. Yeah, because you go back Chicago, yeah. Baltimore, Minnesota, Cleveland. That's four straight series where they've lost two and won one.
And it's not, don't get me wrong here, I'm not blaming Brad Ausmus for this whole thing, because I would be stupid if I did. I think that he has contributed, but I blame the players, because you can put them on the field, you ask the best of them to do their job, you know, and I know, everybody, that team is capable of hitting the ball better than anybody in either league, in my opinion. And why they haven't, I don't know. They've got good enough defense to win. You know, and like Ed mentioned, Verlander has pitched so well, and to get this kind of result, and you're right, Stux, you've been saying all year he should have won 20 games, and he'd be right around that mark if they did any hitting at all in some of those games.
By the way, just to stick another dagger in there for everybody, Rick Porcello's pitching tonight for Boston. Oh, he's 20-4 this year.
He's earning his
money. No, I can't. I'll be honest with you. I never saw that coming.
Me neither.
I didn't even see him 15 game winners.
Yeah,
he's earning. Oh, that was crazy.
They're getting their money's worth out of him. So man. That's great for him.
Dave Dombrowski's got to be sitting there in Boston with a big smile on his face.
Well, yeah, you know.
What a great trade I made 2 years ago for myself.
Hey, I'll let you guys go. I don't want to mess up your show, but I just wanted to give an opinion on what's happening and what I had heard, Stux. And we'll hang on to that one because I told you early. So.
All right. Thanks a lot, Donnie.
Thank you. Thanks, Ed.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Yeah, 966-1380, by the way, is the – and nobody ever answered the trivia, which team is the highest total of wins in FBS history.
He just talked about it. He's a fan of that team, too.
Yeah, so. You're a fan of that team.
Yeah.
I'm not, but that should be a hit for somebody.
I'm a Michigan State fan. By the way, I know the tallest Sparty that Michigan State has ever had. He lives in Harbor Beach.
Does he really?
Yes, the tallest known Sparty to be Sparty. Because I was very suspect, because Sparty, when I was started doing library multiple parades during the summer, the Michigan State cheerleaders would show up, and then Sparty would be there. I'm like, what is going on here? But Sparty would come up to my window and bang on it and point at me and give me the old salute there. What do you call it?
The bird salute right now.
What do they call the bird salute? And he would have a Michigan flag and throw it on the street and just kind of step on it and smush it. And I'm like, what is going on? Trying to pick a fight with me. Sparty's trying to pick a fight with me.
And the whole time it was somebody that you knew hiding in that costume.
Right, and he couldn't reveal who his identity. You know, you mentioned Detroit 4-6 in the last 10 games. And like we said, they're two games behind for that wild card spot. Toronto and Baltimore in those wild card spots. Now, Toronto themselves are 4-6 in the last 10 games themselves. They're in a two-game losing streak, so they may be due. They've got Seattle tonight, whereas we will have Minnesota starting Tuesday, right?
Yeah, and Seattle's right where the Tigers are at, so it's like, who do you root for in that one? Hi, who's this?
Hey, Stux, it was Michigan. I thought you had a winner on that. But, hey, you can give it to the next caller, sir.
There you go.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, it is Michigan. 928. I can't believe nobody else called for that. So, free slice of pizza for you if you're the next caller at 966-1380, because Donnie's going to pass that on to you. Yeah, we started that earlier in the hour, and then I had to go into a commercial break, and we kind of forgot about it there for a few minutes, but 966-1380 if you want to pick up a pizza, and you can call in during the break. Got to take one, and then we'll be back to wrap up the show in just a moment here on WPHM. All right, Bruce McDonald from Port Huron ended up getting that pizza from Jets, so congratulations to him via Donnie, who answered the question, who he didn't realize that we hadn't had a winner yet. If any of that made sense to you. 40th annual enshrinement dinner for the Port Huron Sports Hall of Fame is coming up Saturday, October the 22nd. The guest speaker this year is Pat Williams, who is a motivational speaker who has ties to the NBA. Pat was involved with getting the Orlando Magic off the ground.
Wow.
He's a pretty cool guy, and we're actually working on getting him to come on the show as well. And maybe he can give me some motivational speaking and get my act together. But this year's inductees include Tyler Crockett, Ed Karwinski, Ed Peltz, and George Popa. And Ed Peltz, of course, going in posthumously. We lost him a few years back. Great coach at both Port Huron High and Port Huron Northern. And I'm very excited that George Popa is going to be back in town. We got to get George on the show. When I first got here to Port Huron in the mid-90s, George did color for me on our boys' basketball games. He was the girls' basketball coach. And, of course, back then the seasons were separate. The girls played during football season.
And so much easier, too, to cover.
Yeah, so much easier to cover, yeah. And George used to do the games for me, and he's a great time.
Maybe we should sue to get those games back to the original.
Yeah, you know what? The lady that originally did that, and it had to do with volleyball. Yeah,
didn't even have a kid in
there. She's long gone now, too. So it's like, anyways, they're also putting the first Port Huron Minor Hockey Association team, the 1955 Rotary Club Peewees, into the Hall of Fame this year as well. So a lot of great stuff going on. Some achievement awards, Rachel Bonner, Jermaine Drake, Mason Mott, Mackenzie Shell. Mackenzie Shell, I don't know if you're familiar with Mackenzie's story. Yep. Report here on Northern.
Yep.
Is now at Oklahoma, just smashing records every time she's involved in a meet doing the pole vault. Of course, you followed the career of Leo O'Connor, I'm sure.
Sure.
Really hoping that she'd make the cut and get to the Rio Games, but I wouldn't give up on her for Tokyo.
No. So. And she said she was doing that slightly injured there also. So
isn't it just amazing?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
We got a girl over at the USA Patriots, Unionville Sebring, who is in her second year of volleyball at Tennessee.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a lot of good talent in the thumb.
There's some. The Brown City's got real good volleyball.
This year. Good season so far.
They've got some.
A little bit of advice to all the kids out there: if you get an offer to continue playing a sport you love, no matter what division it is, take it.
Oh, absolutely. Take it. Kidding me?
Doesn't matter where you play.
And a chance to go to school because of athletics and school's expensive.
Yes.
Mom and dad will appreciate it if somebody's going to pay you to come to college or help pay the way.
Speaking of college, we go back to college football real quick. Every team, major college team in the state of Michigan, all won. Central Michigan won, Eastern Michigan won, Western Michigan won, Michigan and Michigan State won.
And Western and Central are going to be meeting here shortly. So
you know how that party atmosphere is like.
I'll tell you what, the coach there at Western Michigan is like a rock star right now.
Well, so is the I know the referee who threw the flag isn't.
Still, though, it makes I know it's the wrong call based on the rules, but it just makes sense to me. You can't reward a team for taking a penalty to end a game.
It doesn't make any sense. That's more of an advantage to an offensive team to just keep doing that the whole game to take time off the clock. You should not reward a team for a penalty.
You know how they have the 10-second runoff for some defensive call?
Yes.
You should have a 10-second putback on for an offensive penalty.
I like that rule. Of course, I'm from being the state of Michigan. Yeah, it's a good rule.
Yeah, so we like seeing the we fire up chips. We fire up for anybody.
Paul Costanzo.
That wins. Yeah.
Of course, he's a Notre Dame fan. He's Brian Kelly from CMU. So
we can't all be perfect. October the 3rd, Eddie, they're opening up the new field house.
Yeah.
He didn't sucker you into that, did he?
No. I'm proud to be part of this. We're going to be doing some webcasts, maybe video webcasts, and if things are set up there, I'm actually going to be heading my way over there to talk to Pete Lacy, the vice president of FC4, to take a look around. I'm going to be down there this Friday to talk to Dale Voss, if you can pull him away from his office or from practice. He practices year-round, to go check it out. But it's becoming a very beautiful facility there, and this is going to be great for the city of Port Huron. When they do these regional championship games coming up here with all the visiting other area colleges, they're going to try to make a bid for the national championship. If we can bring that. Remember when we had Michigan here?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So to get all that.
So, but on the 3rd of October, they're going to open the facility up with a exhibition game.
I'm being pulled in. I want to go to that.
The SC4 All-Star. Oh, he's got me on the team. He put me on the roster.
Ooh.
But I'm telling you, whoever's coaching that team right now, don't put me in that game because we don't want the first game to involve somebody's death.
Now, I wasn't a starter. I wasn't a starter. If you guys need somebody on the team, I tell you what, I'm a very good fouler for the good guy, the best player out there. My coach would pull out, I didn't realize this when I was in JV, they pulled out the best player, and they put me in because I was quick. And he says, Eddie, I want you to foul that guy as hard as you can. I said, okay. And then I realized, wait, this is my job. I'm subbing for the best player, but I got to foul for him. And I embraced that. So.
Yeah. Good to have a role.
Yes,
right?
Everybody has a role. It's team ball.
Everybody's got a role. All right, Thumb Tailgater Sports, thumbtailgater.com. That's the website. Two games going this week for Eddie, who drove a long way to come in today.
My dad lives in town here. My brother's in town here. So, and I went to SC4. Big shout out to John Hill. He was my instructor at the time. Oh, yeah. God bless. I mean, it's great to be in this, in the studios where he was at also. And with you.
This was his studio for a long time.
Hey, you're a legend sports voice here.
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah. It's an honor to be here.
Notorious, yeah. Maybe, but you've got Algonac Croslex this week, plus Vassar Reese, two games there. And, of course, we're doing the Port Huron Northern East Detroit game on our stream this week. So, football fans, go nuts. And enjoy yourself. We've got a lot of good football stuff.
Mid-season already.
Can you believe that? This is week 5. Yeah. At halftime, we will be halfway through the season.
Mm. It's amazing. It's going too quick.
It does go really fast this time of year.
And summer's over. Last couple of days of summer, so we're getting ready for the autumn wind.
Haven't we had 4 great weeks of weather?
We've lucked out with no rain. Yeah, so
no rain, no lightning delays. At least not for any of my games.
Power delays over
power
Brown
delay.
City.
Were you at the Brown City
no,
game?
No.
What did happen there?
The power went out. Something happened. Maybe a squirrel got on the power structure. Who knows?
And Vassar had to come back the next day to finish that game.
I don't know if they stayed the night because they played the rest of the game in the morning.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Weird. Anyways, already going to be week 5. Of the high school football season. Well, Eddie, we'll have to have you back in, too, as the season goes on.
Be great.
So you can fill us in a little bit more about those big games in the BWAC. There's a big game in the BWAC every week now.
I mean, looking at Algonac, Croslex, Richmond at Almont coming up. Maybe Almont can upset Richmond, make it that tie, that what you call it, the BWAC.
The BWAC. All right, no Tigers tonight, so you don't get that, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.